Welcome to the Dr. Leslie Show with Faith Consciousness, your bridge to wholeness and clarity as we navigate this rapidly changing world. Welcome back, friends. Reminder that on this show, we introduce Faith Consciousness, a framework that bridges science, scripture, and quantum principles to help you understand the evolution of human consciousness. This is about our journey through our lifetimes, throughout the whole timeline here on this earth, and how we can move from victim of our history to author of our destiny. This is that third era where we move into the fulfillment of our soul's highest destiny, to become intentional creators in the image of that which we call God. I'm Dr. Leslie Wells, and last time my friend Reverend Christy Snow and I started a conversation about wealth, about real wealth, conscious wealth, and we barely scratched the surface, so today we're going to go deeper, okay? How do you actually create wealth on purpose in the world that we're living in right now, okay? Not chasing it, not hustling yourself into the ground. I noticed on the news yesterday when I was at Mom's, they were doing some interviews with college graduates who were kind of going into panic mode because they're working an old formula that says, do this, do that, get your degree, come on out there and have a great secure job to provide for your future. And the words I saw a couple of them saying was crickets. We're getting crickets. Okay. So just saying the world around us is rapidly changing. And this is not just from the physical level. I'm saying, and faith consciousness teaches, we've moved into a new era. There's a new frequency. There's a new consciousness. And the old game rules aren't going to apply. And you know what? It was always lined up to be that way. We were always destined to move into more. And now we're moving into our calling at that highest level of faith and being able to align with an incredible future and present for yourself in new and different ways. So forget about a lot of the old rules of how to get to where you want to go, because we're in a new world. And it's not new in our consciousness because these things were prophesied about eons ago. And now we're here. It is time and we're ready. So let's hold hands together, step forward into this new era and discover how to manage and maneuver ourselves into such a place that we feel the ease, the grace, the presence of divine in us and through us, and know that our hands can be on the steering wheel as we're allowing that divine grace to flow through us and into our real life here in 3D. So Christy Snow, I'm blessed to have her on with us again. She brings a wealth of spiritual history. Like, I just knew when I met her, there was a whole lot of rooms in that mansion, so to speak, okay, that she has a multifaceted background and wisdom that draws from many different places. And I so appreciate it, as well as being very experienced in, knowledgeable about, and able to bridge into different interpretations, our own Christian heritage and scripture. So this is what we are working with together. Christy, welcome back, and thanks so much for joining us again today.
It's so great to be with you again and to dive even deeper. I too felt like we just scratched the surface.
Yeah, true, true, true. So, you know, just diving right in there, when most people hear the word wealth and picture more money in the bank, a lot of times they're not thinking about how am I thinking and feeling when I think of that topic even, okay? And we talked about how wealth is really a frequency especially when we're moving into conscious wealth and how to address this outer world starting from within, that it starts as a frequency, not an actual amount. And today, I really want to get practical. In a world moving as fast as ours, how do we actually create conscious wealth? Not just understand it, but really, where do we start on this new kind of journey in this new world that we're living in today?
You know, Dr. Leslie, as you're saying that, I'm laughing to myself because I want to say the way we start is to stop. The way we start is to stop. We stop living from a place of urgency, a place of grasping for the thing we want. Until we move into the frequency of it, we keep pushing it away. And so that may sound easier said than done. And that's why I'm excited that we're going to talk about practical things. So, but one of the very first things we need to do is to stop living in a place of urgency. Urgency is not of spirit, as I like to say. It's, you want to pay attention to urgings of the spirit, but not an urgency, because that's not spirit led. And so the way we do that, I mean, one of the best things we can do is to slow down, to stop having to make knee-jerk decisions. You mentioned those college graduates. I flash back to a time that I had a sales job, a very brief sales job, because they wanted me to close the sale. This is where you come in and you make them feel the urgency. And I thought, oh, I'm out. Because it goes against my belief system, you know? I just can't. I still did really well at sales position because I was selling something I believed in. But still, you know, when you go to that place of urgency, I don't believe that's the answer.
So I love that. And I'm actually taking notes. Listeners, are you following my cue here? Taking notes. Urgency versus urgings. That is so profound. And I just want to stay with this for a moment before we progress here, Christy. We're in an environment that's feeding us a prompting towards urgency every day. Everything. It's almost like we're addicted to urgency, isn't it? I mean, it's almost like to be responsible and appropriate in the world today, you're expected to be living in a sense of urgency, of hurry up and get there, of kind of crisis attention as well. We've on the news, like television, it feels like so much is pointing us towards urgency. There's just not much out there. And even as you're bringing up marketing, and I feel that our modern world is bombarding us with marketing, and these devices that are like extensions of our own bodies now, these phones, are marketing at us all the time. The algorithms are prompting us into a sense of urgency. So, you know, what I'd love to do after the break is dive a little deeper into how do we even break the circuit, the feedback loop of urgency, even down to our nervous system, because our nervous system gets patterned into this kind of panic expression, things are urgent. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment with Reverend Christy diving into conscious wealth. Stay tuned. And we're back. This is the Dr. Leslie Show with Faith Consciousness, your bridge to wholeness and clarity as we navigate this rapidly changing world. From victim of your history to author of your destiny and successful creator of your conscious wealth. That's what Reverend Christy Snow and I are exploring today. And so, Christy, we were talking about urgency versus urgings of the spirit, being divinely guided and moved versus being in our usual kind of all day, all the time reaction, knee-jerk reaction to what's happening around us and what's being fed through our feed, okay? That instrument that's a part of our body and mind now, that's kind of sending us, even through marketing, that sense of urgency that you brought up. And whether we're consciously aware of it or not, it's triggering changes even in our nervous system, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. And I love this. I love that our conversation has gone this direction today. So you know, I became a new mom, and I remembered people saying, oh, it must be easy for you. You don't have kids, or it must be easy for you. You don't have to get up early. It's easy to stay centered. Well, now I have a 3-year-old, and I get up at 4 if I have to in the morning to have the time that I need to start my day. I'm not saying you have to get up at 4 a.m., but if you do, it's worth it. The point is to begin your day on your terms with Spirit's guidance. And for me, one of the things that's most powerful to do that when I first wake up, but actually I do it throughout my day, because in less than 3 minutes, you can release a cascade of chemical reactions in your body that improve your health and your well-being and take you into a centered state. And so let's do it right now. I won't do the full thing, because I usually do it for anywhere from 3 to 15 minutes, but let me just show you the steps. So if you're driving, I encourage you to leave your hands on the wheel, but I usually tell people put one hand on their heart or two, and that just simply takes your awareness to your heart space just by touching, whether you do it in a namaste prayer hands motion or just placing a hand on heart, takes your attention there.
Okay. Quick question. If we're doing the prayer hands in front of our heart, do we need to physically touch our body with our thumbs?
Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
You guys
any way you want to physically touch your heart. That's the point.
Right. So if you're using folded hands in prayer position, then bring it all the way into your chest.
Yes.
So you're physically touching your body there too. Okay. Good.
Yes. Because
gotcha.
that touch brings your awareness to your heart space.
Mm-hmm.
And then leaving your hands on your heart, take a deep, slow breath, as deep as you can. Just breathing in very deep, releasing it really slowly. And that's step two. And what a conscious slow breath does is it takes us out of fight or flight immediately, but we want to stay there. So continue to be in charge of your breath, to consciously breathe in as deep as you can and release it as slowly as you can while still placing your hands on your heart. And continue to do that. Now we add in the third step. And the third step is to allow feelings of gratitude, love, and appreciation. Just anything. It could be your kitten asleep on your lap. It could be a memory of someone who's passed away. But every time you think of them, you feel peace and you feel gratitude for knowing them and having loved them. Anything that brings you in a feeling of appreciation, gratitude, and love. And then you just continue with your hands on your heart or a hand on the heart and the slow, intentional, slow breathing and the feelings of love and gratitude. And the science has proven that in 3 minutes that releases healing chemicals in your body, but also it takes you into a deeply centered state.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So I'm going to review the steps, friends. Hands on your heart, whether just palms against your chest or hands in folded prayer position with your thumbs touching, okay? The deep conscious breath with a very slow exhale. Is that right, Christine?
Yes.
Right? So I know that slow exhale automatically moves your nervous system into what we call the parasympathetic response. That's your peace response, P for peace, parasympathetic. Slow out breath. Okay. Then moving into feelings of gratitude and love. Christy, are you recommending visualizing something, remembering something?
Just usually you don't have to spend a lot of time. We can get lost in the visualization sometimes, mm-hmm. but just allowing when I say the word allowing, if I am in that space and I just am ready to allow feelings of gratitude and love, immediately a face comes to mind. Immediately a feeling comes to my heart. So either of those things, as long as you're getting to the feeling of love and gratitude, but without trying so hard. That's part of our problem, is we're in the state of trying so hard, and we don't have to try so hard to be peace.
Yeah, isn't that funny? I'm trying to relax.
I skidded into a massage therapy appointment one time and hit the curb and thought, well, this is kind of defeating the purpose if I'm almost taking people out, breaking the speed limit, and then all tense, you know, to get to this massage therapy appointment.
Hurry up and stop.
Yeah. Hurry up so you can be peace for a minute. No, the point is to be able to be it on a regular basis.
Yes, yes, yes. So friends, just to let you know that in addition to the guidance and the steps that Reverend Christy has just shared with us, If you would like some tangible external and auditory guidance for yourself, there is a recorded process that takes just over 3 minutes that you can access for free at any time on faithflowradio.com. Myself and friend Dina Baker came together, and I'm the voice of guiding you through this meditative process, and she is the voice of this beautiful auditory sound healing through her vocals, through her own voice. It's inspired and it's beautiful, and we may even engage with that during this show. We'll just see how it flows, but we may end up enjoying that together a little bit later. But know that that's where you can get it, faithflowradio.com. Now, so Christy, here we are. I'm remembering the scripture that says, as a person thinks in their heart, so they are. Okay, my version, Proverbs 23:7. So it's like we're managing how we're thinking and feeling as a cause that translates into how we're being, and then the world begins to kind of morph to that on the outside. And that reminds me of one of the teachers I had read some of their works before. Neville Goddard says, assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled. So live from the end as if it's already done. And to me, this is dropping yourself intentionally as a person thinks in their heart. You know, how am I thinking? What am I thinking? And I think of thinking in my heart is how am I feeling, right? Which then, you know, the Bible says, then so we are. And, you know, I think we can actually reverse it instead of going, well, what's going on out there or how I've been dictates how I'm feeling in my heart. Well, what if I rewire that, you know, with the renewal of the mind and with the help of divine guidance and the Holy Spirit, that we can actually intentionally go in there and go, you know what, I'm going to be intentional about how I feel. I'm going to remember Neville's teachings that say, feel as if it already is, and then you move towards that wish fulfilled that Jesus talks of in the Bible when it says, believe that it has been given, and it will be given unto you. So in your experience, you know, this sounds really simple, but is wealth creation really that direct? Or is there more behind it? Do we just kind of imprint the thought and the feeling and then boom, here it comes? Or can it be that simple?
No. Yes and no. So first of all, a belief, let's think about that. A belief is a thought that we think on repeat. So a thought that we think a lot. And so it is very important that we pay attention to what we're thinking on a regular basis. And the feeling is a huge part of the equation as well. Is there more to it? Yes. I think it's so crucial that we release the attachment, because think about how, you know, if you've ever bought a car when you didn't really have to have a new car, there's a much different feeling than when your car just broke down. You barely have enough money to pay to make a payment on this car and you got to buy a new car. That's a totally different experience because of the attachment. Same thing with health. If you have, you know, you're affirming your health, it's much easier than when you have been given a diagnosis. So with wealth, if you're coming from a place of not having or not feeling that you have wealth and you're wanting to be in a more wealthy place in your life, first of all, realize that wealth is the ability to do and to be and to have. It's the ability to go where you want to go, with whom you want to go, and when you want to go, you know, really. And so thinking about, well, what can I be grateful for in this moment that activates that that's already unfolded within me? So that's several things in one. That's the belief, the feeling, the release of attachment, and the activating it with gratitude. And there's a few more things that I could say about that, but that's what first comes to mind.
That's awesome. So again, I'm taking notes as you go. It's you guys, Reverend Christie's on the air with us. It's always going to be loaded with very valuable information. I'm taking notes. And as I am, I wrote down attachment, and immediately I wrote need and desperation. Okay. So attachment really pretty much always has a frequency of fear connected to it, doesn't it? Like
it
a
does.
Fear of not getting it or, yeah. you know, or even if we have something we're attached to, a fear of losing it.
Yes.
I've seen yeah. that. I'll be honest. I'm just going to say it here. Love you, Dad. Okay. But my dad, when he moved into greater wealth in his life, I saw him change, and some of it had to do with his protection of what he'd gotten. And yes. there was like a fear. He started doing these new steps that were different. He didn't walk in the same level of trust and faith that I had seen him before. And I think it's interesting how sometimes we can get this external wealth and have fear with it, fear of loss, or be in attachment to wanting to get something, and we've got fear in the mix. So great friends, we're going to take another commercial break. We'll be back in just a few moments to go further into how you can bring in conscious wealth in your life, lose the fear, and get it. Stay tuned. And we're back. This is the Dr. Leslie Show with Faith Consciousness, where you can move from victim of your history to author of your destiny, which includes creating conscious wealth. Here with Christy Snow. And Christy, going back into that thought of attachment, having fear attached to it, really, when we're feeling that sense of clinging, and there's a difference. What is the difference between enthusiasm, passion, and desperation? I wonder if we might even fool ourselves saying I'm just enthusiastic when really there's kind of an energy of, oh, I have to have it.
Yeah, I think it goes back to what we talked about last week as far as the inner versus the outer. When we're striving and reaching for something outside of us to make us okay, right? That's different than when we feel inspired and connected and whole.
Wow. So, I mean, this just brings me to the word faith. I mean, it's really the foundation of this whole show, but gosh, how do we attune ourselves into that frequency of faith when the 3D circumstances do actually look threatening and scary? I just want to relay that I have a lot more empathy and understanding of that in a new and different way since my experience last year, where we recently had a show talking about my spontaneous healing of breast cancer. And man, overriding that kind of looming sense of that diagnosis, which can just feel so scary, and trying to apply what I knew to be true about I am well, I am whole, I'm not in need, you know, and it's a journey. It's a journey. And I found that a big helpful tool in that would be to take my mind off of that circumstance and focus on my body and how I'm feeling, right? And this is just like your process that you gave us in the last segment where we were talking about, you know, the breath, the hands on the heart, moving, regulating the nervous system regulation. And I would imagine it applies to everything, that when we're holding that sense of urgency and that sense of need, which has attachment with it, and we're aiming to feel that sense of wholeness and no need within as we embody the feeling of what the 3D is not reflecting right now, you know, I suppose that it's universal to where we take the same principles from health and healing. Yeah, you guys who listen to that show know that in the moment where I had the spontaneous remission and had this whole amazing spiritual event, the words and the thoughts that were real for me were, I'm eternal with God, and it doesn't matter if I have cancer or not. So I just felt this total drop into ease. Like, you know what? It doesn't even matter. All is well. I just felt that expansion into that. And I mean, how do we take that concept and move into it as we're holding the lens that's looking at every aspect of our life, my relationships, my marriage, okay, the well-being of my children, my financial circumstances? How do we expand that blanket into specific areas where we have the, quote, diagnosis, where we have the challenge, where we have the eviction notice? You know, when we're in the crunch, how do we find that frequency of ease to help, you know, bridge us into that peace? And even without an agenda, because I'm realizing real freedom has to be also not necessarily attached to what that result's going to be. It's got to be true freedom from within. The scripture comes to me, okay, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Psalms 127:1. So, like, we can put to practice certain principles and efforts, but if it's not really coming from that inspired place, that place of connecting with trust that I believe is about knowing our connection beyond this world, beyond this body, that from which we come. It seems like this is what's really the foundation, that the Lord building the house is what's key. Because we can sit here and even use positive affirmations and talk things. I was thinking earlier about Florence Scovel Shen, who says, "Your word is your wand." And how the spoken word is a creative force, and there's a divine supply for every demand. But what's the difference between speaking the words and embodying what those words represent? What do you say about it?
Wow, there's so much to say about that. Let me see where to dive in. Well, first of all, the like I said before, a belief is a thought we think on repeat. So when we are choosing to have our thoughts go in the right way, then our feelings can mix with that and create something new. Now, a different vibration, a different frequency. Now, Dr. Leslie, what I saw in you during that time of just spontaneous clearing was such deep gratitude and passion, a zest, a zeal, as Charles Fillmore used to say, for living. And so I want to speak to that. I want to speak to how that empowers our life when we come from a place of gratitude, because what do we know in any arena? What we appreciate appreciates in value. Mm-hmm. So whatever we give our appreciation to appreciates in value, and whatever we give away, we get more of. Now stay with me on that, because that sounds counterintuitive, but in this world that we live in, in the spiritual world, we say you can't beat God given, or you can't outgive God. However you want to look at it, what we give away, we are releasing any feeling of scarcity around and allowing more of it to flood back in. And so if you need more time, give your time. If you need more money, if you're wanting more money, I like to stay away from the word need. If you're in a place of desiring more flow with money, then give it. Find some place that reminds you of the truth of your being, that reminds you of what it means to be fully alive. Something that's what spiritual food is, something or someone or organization that reminds you of the truth of your being. Give to that. Support that. If you are wanting more love in your relationships, how can you be more loving? So gratitude and giving are two, I think, so really important pieces to this puzzle that we can live. And I say puzzle, you know, Florence Scovel Shen also said that life is a game. She had a book called The Game of Life. And She talks about how there's rules to the game of life, just like rules of gravity, but we go through life living unconsciously and not paying attention to how we're participating in it and how we can be part of that co-creation process.
I love that you brought, I love that book by Florence Scovelshin. The game of life and how to play it. And you know how we were talking earlier about the old rules don't apply. And I'm talking about the 3D surface rules of striving and effort and now more than ever. Not to say that these deeper levels of understanding didn't apply before. They always did. But we also were able to push and set our short, medium, and long-term goals and line ourselves up with those action steps and eke out a response or success. But I believe that the world is changing more and more, and even in the 3D, everything's rearranging. AI is a big part of the world now and so rapidly growing in that way that even the job market doesn't look the same as it used to. We're not working with the same formulas. And I'm just saying it's a time now where we're kind of being forced to go deeper and move into the deeper wisdom of applying principles of higher consciousness, even as taught by Jesus in the scriptures, to where we do dive down because there's no other way forward. We dive down to within. And I believe this is like an intentional obstacle course that's evolving us more and allowing us to see what the truth really is about ourselves and this reality. We'll be back on this topic in just a few moments. Listeners, stay tuned. Conscious Wealth is here for you now. And we're back. This is the Dr. Leslie Show with Faith Consciousness, moving from victim of your history to author of your destiny and embracing creating conscious wealth. Okay, Reverend Christie. So, you know, I was reflecting on the wisdom teachings that we have touched on a bit in the show today, and I'm kind of comparing. There's a modern culture of manifestation that's really been popular, increasingly over the last probably 20 years, and I feel like there may be something missing from this new manifestation culture, from those deeper teachings from before, from the wisdom teachers of the past. Share a bit about what you see as the difference between that and what we've got going on with the kind of name it, claim it manifestation steps.
Right. Well, you know, I'm reminded of the movie The Secret, and no shade or offense to that movie. It had some really great parts. But a lot of people left after seeing that movie thinking that it was just about a manifestation. That was just, you know, the goal, just how to get the car, how do I get the house, how do I get the person? And I think about the wisdom teachers of the ages, the difference is they weren't seeking it. They weren't trying to manifest. It was a byproduct, a natural side effect of living from a place of wholeness consciousness, which is prosperity consciousness. Prosperity consciousness is just having that consciousness of connection to the whole and knowing that it's not, as Jesus would say, it's not I, but the Father within that does the work. Just trusting that I'm swimming in this sea of good, and all I need to do is ask and allow.
Okay,
I
can't help but interject. Here's that scripture just screaming out at me as I hear what you're saying. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. That's the side effect. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Yes,
that wholeness.
Yes.
So if we seek the wholeness first and embody that, the kingdom of heaven that is within us, and have our focus there, then I would imagine, because if you think about, okay, here's my means to the end. I'm going to focus on this so I can get that.
Right.
Yeah, I would imagine
then we're missing it.
The
right?
Need for that starts to drop away when we really are engaging with that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And that little simple process that we did that I'm so glad you have a recording for people to listen to later. But that process is like a opening the door, right? It's opening the door to that secret place of the Most High where you can go within and commune, pray in whatever way that you pray, and be in that energy of I'm not separate from my source. I'm connected to that which created me and creates all and has everything I need all around me. So I can open and allow that to flow through.
The God who is above all, in all, and through all, as the scriptures say. So yes, embodying that, you know. So I know that you have taught this and helped many people move into that inner alignment, that higher state. Can you give us some practical steps?
I can. Can I tell a quick story?
Sure.
So I had a student who was working a job he didn't like. He had an idea, just a seed thought of a career, a new business he wanted to own. And he started in the process of working with these prosperity principles. He started every time anything would happen, he would say, that was good. He'd say prosperity. It could be someone gave him a compliment. He'd say prosperity. He'd find a dollar in a coat pocket. Prosperity. Somebody buy him a coffee. Prosperity. It was, became like this cute little thing that he did all the time. And within a very short few months or maybe even weeks, he lost his job. And instead of being like, oh, poor thing, you know, we were blown away because he said, oh, no. This is good. And he lays down a business card of the job that he wanted to begin. And he jumped in as a first-time business owner and is still 13 or 14 years later, a thriving business owner, instead of working for someone else in a job that he hated, all because he started his little prosperity. And that may sound simple because it is, but it's not. Because if you are not feeling prosperous, it's really hard to say prosperity about a free coffee or a dollar in your pocket. But what started to happen was because he made that his practice, he was looking for the prosperity. Seek and you will find. So he was looking for it. So that's one of the things. I'm going to give you some homework. Should you choose to accept it, here you go. Give it away. I'm going to mention that again. Give it away. Give it away. It means if you're looking for more money, give money. If you're looking for more time, give your time. More love, give your love. So give to that place or that person, or that organization that reminds you of the truth of your being. It reawakens the potential of your being, makes you come alive. Next, be accountable. So whether it's keeping a journal, having an accountability buddy, or as my first teacher taught me many years ago, set a timer. And when that timer goes off, do some inventory. Was I just worrying about all my problems and all my bills, or was I actually envisioning and building the feeling, the embodiment of what it is I want to live in and from? Next would be wipe the slate clean. Now, remember, I'm trying to give you an 8-week class in 2 minutes. So I'll try to do it quickly. Wipe the slate clean. So stop complaining. It drains your energy. It feeds the wrong thing. Stop criticizing. Falls right in with complaining. Release the people that you have tied yourself to with forgiveness that doesn't condone any bad behaviors. It just releases the chains around you to that event. And I say lastly, but there's lots more, but I'll just say this one last thing, and that's be willing to change. We have to be willing. You can't pour new wine in old wineskins. They'll break. They'll ruin everything. You have to be willing to surrender and to change if you want something new.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. Yes, I took notes. Step one, give it away. Okay. You know, I noticed that when I'm thinking of doing that, Christy, it's kind of like tricking your nervous system, yeah. Right? It's like a trick. So because as your physical body and your mind observe you giving, that naturally gives a communication that says we have a surplus.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We have a surplus. My cup runneth over. So here I am giving it, right? So that helps.
And it goes back to that can't outgive God thing. I remember standing with my hand on a check saying, okay, I'm going to up my game. Instead of, I tithe 10%. But that day I was like, I'm tithing 20%. And it made my knees knock a little because I was at a place where giving that extra 10% was a big deal. And I put the check in the mailbox, then drove across town to my PO box because I had just gotten off a tour from traveling around the country playing music. And someone the second tithe was $70. And when I got to the post office box, a church had tithed $700 to me and it was waiting for me in the post office box. So I'm just saying I said to myself, you can't outgive God. I trust and I know that the flow is within me and moves through me with ease. And then so much more than that showed up in my mailbox.
That's so, thank you. Thank you for that sharing. And I get it. I get it. I feel like I've walked that and seen it in action myself as well. So when we are tricking our nervous system, kind of, you know what I mean? And through even our physical bodies, we're doing things that cause the body to know, I have this ability to give. And then we're accountable, wipe the slate clean, release with forgiveness, and be willing to change. I really want to go ahead and insert here that quick experience. Folks, let's do this 3-minute reset so you can feel what it feels like right now to recalibrate your nervous system, to regulate and move yourself into that state of peace, which equals abundance and ease. Let's do it now. This is a guided sound journey to help you move into a state of ease and grace. I'm your verbal guide, Leslie Wells, and Dina Baker, bringing through sounds. Take a deep breath in. Let it out very slowly, allowing the nervous system to move into a state of parasympathetic response. Gently close your eyes. Imagine being like a sponge. Allow the sounds to carry you. I will count from 5 to 1. To take you to a more relaxed, open state of being. 5, 4, 3, going deeper with every number. 2, allowing the sounds to take you deeper. And 1. Bring your awareness to the center of your chest. Notice the gentle movement with your breath. Imagine the sounds moving through your tissues, the cells of your body, way down to the particles and waves of your being, your field. Imagine your body dissolving into light. Now take a deep breath in. Feel that exhale come out. Find yourself awake again and in the room, and gently open your eyes. And I imagine if you've listened to that, you know a deeper feeling of peace within you right now. Reverend Christy, thank you for joining us again today. It's always a pleasure to have you here and sharing your wisdom. Listeners, next week we're going to go into the 3 zones of creation. I want to remind you that you are never alone. You are worthy. You are loved. And all is well. This is Dr. Leslie. See you next week. And until then, walk sacred.